how God has gifted and anointed us. We talked about it before that we are a body. A body. And that the body is not made up of just one huge ear or one huge eye. Remember, we talked about that last week. But there we are many-membered body. And every member has a function. And every member is important to the welfare of the whole body and the purpose of God as He has called us to fulfill it. Amen? And as we discover those gifts, and as the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us, and we to discover the gift or gifts that God has given to us, it helps us to find our purpose. It helps us to find our direction. It helps us to find our place of fruitfulness within the body of Christ. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. You can't be bored yet. It's just my introduction. See, God's gifts we're talking about now primarily are spiritual. They are supernatural endowments which God gives to us to be manifest for the good of others. Are you listening? The gifts God's given you are not for yourself. They are for others. You've never passed by and seen an orange tree eating its own fruit. No, that fruit is for others to come and eat. Amen? Amen. And so we've got to discover what our gifts are, because many people in the body of Christ are wondering, what has God called me to do? I mean, I know I'm a dad or a mom, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, you know, I've got this job and I'm paying the bills and things like that, and we understand that part, that natural part of us, and that is a part of us, but there is also that spiritual part of us. We are in that we belong to a spiritual body called the church, the body of Christ, and in that we have a purpose. And I believe we can understand our purpose in that aspect of our spiritual lives just as clearly as we understand what it means to be a wife or a husband or mom or a dad or the breadwinner. And we can use that gift on purpose and allow the grace and the anointing of God to flow through us to benefit others, especially in the body of Christ. That's what this is about. And there are many frustrated believers because they're endeavoring to do things, and the things they're endeavoring to do are good things, but it may not be the right thing. It's not the right fit for you. Why? Because that's not what God's gifted you to do. That's not what you're called to do. And if you don't have the grace to do it, you may do it and see some results, but I want to tell you, you're never going to see the fruit that God intended. You're never going to have the joy in the midst of what you're doing that God intended, as you will when you find your place. And part of that is finding what is the gift of God. So there, you know, and you probably all have studied about, you know, the gifts, you know, the Spirit, the ministry gifts, the office gifts. Now, I'm not going to be able to get into an exhaustive study as much as I'd like to about that, because we'd be here for the rest of the year, and I can't do that. But here's the thing. So I'm going to break this down into three basic large categories, okay? The ministry gifts, Ephesians 4, get your Bible and turn over there, Ephesians 4. We're going to talk about the ministry gifts today, time permitting. We're going to get there. But I want to talk about, as I'm going to break them down anyway, three basic categories that we can put all the gifts that we see in the Scriptures can fall into one of these three categories, put it that way. Ephesians 4. Here we find what we call either the ministry gifts, which are offices as well. Some refer to these as the ascension gifts. Others refer to them as the fivefold ministry gifts. It says, in verse 8, it says, this is what it says. When he ascended on high, he led captives in his team and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And it was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for the works of service, Now, we'll get into these in more detail in a minute, but these ministry gifts are also offices. These are gifts that Jesus gave to men in the body of Christ. And their basic function is this, is to prepare the people of God for their service. Amen. It's not to make you feel better. Come on. It's not to pat you on the hand, bless your heart. You know, that may be a part of it, but basically it's this. My dad, when he was in the Army back in World War II, and he was a drill sergeant. Danny, some of you went, ooh, maybe you've been under one. You know, a drill sergeant, and they told you real plain what they were there for. They'd let you know, I'm not your mama. I'm here, you know, and you know, we understand, you know, I'm talking about a natural thing, but you know, they were there for one purpose. That was to whip you into shape and to get you ready for warfare. And I guarantee you, if you ever were under a drill sergeant, you probably had some choice thoughts about that guy and some opinions about him. Especially if you weren't saved. But here's the thing. When you get into battle, when you get into those situations where the bullets are flying, where the noise is around you, where there's confusion and everything's going around you, you thank God you had some training. And here's the problem with many in the body of Christ. They do not like a particular, as it were, ministry gift or a ministry somewhere. And they decide, well, bless God, I don't like this drill sergeant. I'm getting out of the army and I'm just going to go sit home with mama. And that may be great and wonderful, but in the day of battle, you know, what mama had to tell you might not be enough. You need something more. You need what the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, the anointing and the grace that is upon them. You need that in your life. Amen. And without that, listen, without that, as I understand the scripture here, listen, he says, they help us come to the maturity, to the fullness of the stature, the measure of Christ. Without these ministry gifts speaking into our lives, we don't get there. I've heard people tell me, well, I don't need to come to the church. I can just stay at home and fellowship with God. Well, bless God, that's not what this word says. Because unless you've got all those ministry gifts, unless you're an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, and a pastor and a teacher yourself. And from my study, the only person I ever see that stood in all five of the ministry offices at one time was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't see anybody else that stood in that. Not Peter, not Paul, not any of them. Now Paul stood, he said, I'm an apostle, a preacher, and a teacher. And you can stand in more than one ministry office. But the only person that I see in the scriptures that ever stood in all five was the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says he had the Spirit without measure. That implies you and I have got it by measure. Amen? And the measure of that grace has to do in proportion to the gifting and the calling of God upon our lives. Amen? Now, we're going to get back to that in a minute. But also in Romans 12, turn over there, because we're looking at these three categories just to introduce them, and then we're going to talk more about the ministry gifts today. Romans chapter 12, these sometimes are referred to as helps or service or sometimes motivational gifts. I think Marilyn Hickey did an excellent teaching on these some years ago. She's probably still got a book out on it somewhere. She called them motivational gifts. So whatever the term you want to do it, it's gifts for service, for serving. And so let's look here and beginning in verse 4. It says, just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. Are you listening? Not everybody has the same function. Not everybody gets to be the pastor. Everybody may try, but he said we got different functions. And you know, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, in the natural, would you go into the doctor's office and tell the surgeon, now here's how I think you ought to do it. But you know, we don't have any problem when it comes to other ministry gifts. Even though we're not called and anointed there, we don't mind telling them how we think they ought to do it. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I don't know why we do that. He said, these members do not have the same function. Remember, we said we're not all one big eye. He said, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to what? The grace given to us. Listen, there's a grace for salvation. Amen? That's the same. We're all saved the same way. By grace are you saved through faith. Amen? The grace of salvation. But you know that God has grace that He gives in many different ways. The grace of salvation. There's a grace in these giftings. And listen, this is why we're not talking about a natural gift. We're talking about a gift that is spiritual, that is supernatural, that comes from God because it's by grace. If it's something natural, it's something you did. It's something you can do. But we're talking about spiritual gifts here. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. You say, prophesying is one of the gifts? Absolutely. That's a gift. This word prophesying here, it has to do with what we call simple prophecy. That means what? There's no foretelling in it. We're not predicting the future here, but it's to what? Unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. And he says, everyone that has this grace, you need to prophesy what? According to your faith. That's why when you see prophecy come forth, it will be a little bit different through each different vessel. Because what? They're prophesying according to their faith, according to the grace that's flowing through them, according to the way they have developed it. Let him use it in proportion to faith. If it is serving, let him serve. You know, that's one of the biggest, one of the most widespread graces and gifts that God gives in the body is this what? This ability to what? Serve. Oh, I want to be the prophet. I want to have visions. I want to do this and I want to do that. Listen, it's not a matter of what I want to. You know, and I used to tell the Bible school students this all the time. I said, be careful what you ask for. You may get it. You know? Yeah. You know? I've told you a story. You know, the guy was in Bible school. Remember, I tell you, when he's in Bible school and Bible college. And, in that day, this was many, many years ago, in that day, they thought, well, you need to marry somebody. Find your wife that, that can play the piano or do something like that and help you out. So, he listened to the wisdom of, his professor or whoever it was. And, and so he found somebody that could really play the piano and everything. And, and the years go by. And, one morning he rolls over in bed and he looks at her. And he goes, woman, get up and play that piano. Here's the thing. It's not about what we want or what we think is best. It's about what God desires to do in our lives and through our lives for the benefit of the body. I'd be absolutely thrilled if you took my job. I'd be thrilled about it. You say, oh, you hate your job? No. It's not that. But I'd be thrilled to let you have it. Man, go for it. Talk to God. You can talk him into it. You're all right with me. But I read over there where he says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Isn't that right? So we might as well discover what gifts we are and work with the Holy Spirit to develop and use them because we're going to give an account for them. And remember, you remember the story with the, Jesus gave the story where he gave the talents out. You know, the five, the two, and the one. And the guy with the one, with the least, what did he do? He neglected his. He went and buried it. He didn't use it. He didn't develop it. Amen. Sometimes, we can get this attitude. Well, my gift is not that big a deal. I mean, it's just a serve. It's just, I'm just, I'm an usher or a greeter. I'm this or I'm that. And we tend to belittle it and look down on it. And we don't really cultivate it. We don't really excel in it. We don't really rejoice in it. We don't really allow the grace that's in it to be released so that it blesses the body. Man, I tell you what, if God gave me the grace to serve as a greeter, I'm telling you what, man, when you come in that door, you're going to know you were greeted. I mean, you're going to know that there is grace on me to do this. There is an anointing on me to greet people. I'm going to make you feel blessed to be in the house of God. I'm going to make you glad that you are here. I'm going to make you have an anticipation for what's about to happen. Instead of, well, I guess I got to pass out these bulletins. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. You know, you may have the gift of encouragement. Glory to God, what a gift that is. Let me get close to you. I love to be around people with the gift of encouragement, don't you? Woo! Now, I'm just introducing this. We'll preach it later. But don't you, I get around people that encourage me. I'm not going to hang around a dark cloud. I love you, but I ain't going to get no closer than I have to. You know what I mean by a dark cloud? You know what I mean, those people. I mean, you know, oh man, you leave and you're all, your faith's got all soggy. Man, when you come, you were like, yeah, bless God, we can do it. I don't know. You know, you've got that gift of encouragement. Man, develop it. Be an encourager. I'm telling you, people will be attracted to you like iron to a magnet. I mean, boy, they'd just be like, ooh, I like being around her. I like being around him, man. I come away from their presence. Boy, I feel like, bless God, I'm ready. Where are them lions at? I don't need no sword. I'm ready to charge them. Isn't that right? Come on. We need that in the body. Says if it's giving, let him give generously. Did you know that God gives this gift of giving to people in the body? And if you got that gift, we need that gift to be exercised. Sure we do. Sure we do. Listen, you guys are all smart, intelligent people. You know the kingdom of God needs money on the earth, doesn't it? That's no great revelation there to anybody. That's why God, and God understands that too. And he says, I'm going to give you this gift. And along with this gift comes the ability. God's going to give you the ability, what? To produce wealth. He's going to give you the ability to be successful. We need some millionaires raised up in grace. I'm not talking about so we just consume it all on ourselves. Listen, the kingdom of God needs it. I've got missionaries I want to give to. That they're doing good things in other nations. And I don't have it to give it. And I want to give it to them. People in need. We need givers that can say, bless God, Pastor, I got that covered. Don't worry about that another day. You don't have to pray about that another. Just go pray about the lost. I got this covered. We got a need that comes up or something. You know, we need to replace an air conditioner or something like that. Somebody, don't worry about it, Pastor, I got it. You know, Dr. Cho, anybody know who Dr. Cho is? He said in his church, when he started his church, of course, you know, that's 50 years ago, 1959. He said, you know, everybody was poor. He was poor and broken, everything. But now he's got billionaires in his church. And he says, when he gets ready to do a project, he said, I can't get it out of my mouth before somebody. I mean, they're almost fighting over who's going to get to do it. I'll take care of it, Pastor. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be good? I wouldn't mind if God chose me. I'd love to have that gift. Boy, I love. Isn't it good to give? I love to give. I love to bless people, bless missionaries. I hear missionaries over there. They're struggling. They need a vehicle or something. Bless God. I mean, I'd just be thrilled to my toenails to be able to buy it and give it to them. Cash pay. There you go. Keep preaching. Wouldn't that be good? Listen, there's some of you out there, you're going to find out God's given you this gift. Remember he said over there in Deuteronomy 8, he said, it is God that gives you the power to obtain wealth, that he may establish his covenant in the earth. Every time I've gone overseas, it took money. Every time I've gone around the corner, it took money. Every time I endeavor to do something for God, it takes money. Unless I'm, you know, other than maybe prayer. says, let him, what, generously. If it's leadership, let him do it governed diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Oh, I love to be around the mercy people too, don't you? Woo! It's so refreshing. I don't like to be around the critical people, do you? I got too much wrong with me. And so when you get around critical people, oh man, it's painful, isn't it? It is for me. Now some of y'all better off than I am, but you know. Man, I want to be around those people that's going to show some mercy. They're going to tell me, hey, you can do it. God can do it. God's not through with you. God, you're going to make it. God's big enough. Doesn't matter what it looks like. God's not through with you yet. God can do it. There's hope for you. God's in it. God's going to bring you through. That's what I want to hear. How about you? Oh, man. So we'll talk about this group of gifts later on, too. But I'm telling you what. Can you imagine just what we've read so far? What if we all start, you know, this one starts finding their gift and this one their gift and this one their gift. And we start exercising them and the grace of God starts being released among us here. You think that won't have an attracting force? Glory to God. I'm going to get over there. Man, to that church called Grace. Boy, did they call it right. It's a place of grace. Where the grace gifts of God are flowing. Where the people are being edified and built up. They're being equipped for the work of God's called them to. I mean, you need encouragement, you can get it over there. You need to be blessed, you can get it over there. You need mercy shown to you, you're going to get it over there. Man, I'm telling you. And all of a sudden, people begin to see, this is what Jesus looks like. This is what Christianity is about. This is what the church is about. Man, if I'd have known that, I'd have been here a long time ago. Listen, everybody wants this. I don't care where you find them. The up and outer and the down and outer. They want mercy. They want to be loved. They want to know there's hope. They want to be encouraged. They want to know that God's for them. That's your job. Isn't that a great job to have? See, you work on the side, but your job is what we're talking about here. Amen. You're like Paul. You're a tent maker. You know, Paul made tents, he paid his bills with that, but his job, his purpose was what we're talking about here. What? Manifesting the grace of God that was in his life. You know, he went over there, he talked in Corinthians, he said, he's talking about the apostles and all this, you know, because some people were getting to bragging and everything. And he said, I want you to know, he said, I came behind, not even the chiefest of apostles did I come behind. He said, I labored harder than all of them. And then he put something down there, sometimes we forget this part of the verse. He said, yet it wasn't me, it was the grace of God in me. Boy, you remember we're talking about being fruitful. You want to be fruitful? Let the grace gift of God work in you. Oh, excel in it. Excel in it. Never cheapen, never diminish, never talk down your gift that God's given you. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. You know, it's men that try to, listen, anything God's got, anything God gives to me, it's precious. It's precious. I will never cheapen. If God gives me a quarter, it's special. Because God spoke to somebody. God moved in some way. I was on God's heart for that quarter. Amen. All right, turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. Boy, I'm going to get past the introduction, am I? It's y'all's fault. y'all got me going. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, these are what we refer to. Many times we say gifts of the Spirit, but they're really the Holy Spirit gifts. Gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gifts. But there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of operation or working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Amen? So these gifts are given to individuals They flow through individuals, but what are they for? For the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous or powers or working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning or distinguishing of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now, there are nine gifts that are mentioned here. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are gifts given to members in the church, individual members in the church. And they operate as the Spirit wills. Now, we'll look at this as we get to this section of the gifts, this category of the gifts in more detail. Paul said, earnestly desire the best gifts. The best gifts. So the first three gifts in this is what we refer to as the revelation gifts. They reveal something. The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. The word of wisdom has to do with future things. God will give you insight. He will show you. It might be through a prophetic word, might be through a vision, but he will show you things to come. Now, notice it said a word. It didn't say a book. In other words, what's he saying? It's partial. Paul said this. He said, we know in part, we prophesy in part. So a word of wisdom is going to do with a part of it. At times, God may give you a word of wisdom concerning his purpose for your life, for his call, for his direction. Maybe for a church or a ministry, or even sometimes for a nation. You read it, especially in the Old Testament. You read with the prophets. But you know what? That gift is still in operation today. The word of knowledge deals with things from either from the past or things present that's in the mind of God that only God knows and he reveals to you. Something that you need to know. And here's the thing. If God don't tell you, guess what? You don't need to know. It's just that simple. And you know, some things you're better off not to know. Amen. Some things you're better off not to know. I don't want to know everything that's going on in everybody's life. I couldn't handle it. I can't even handle it with me. I couldn't handle that. I don't want to know all that. You know? But at times, as the Spirit wills, he will give you what? A word. A knowledge about it. And remember, it said for the common good to help somebody. To speak a word that will help somebody, that will trigger their faith, that will launch them into a position to receive a miracle. Then discerning of spirits, that's where we can discern what spirit is operating here. Sometimes you literally will see the spirit. At other times, you will just know what that spirit is. And you know, we divide these gifts up, and we'll get into them in more detail. I'm just kind of introducing them today. But you know, a lot of times, you know, these gifts work together. Like discerning of spirits and the word of knowledge will work together. You'll discern, you know, discerning of spirits that there's a certain type of spirit here, and the word of knowledge will come to you so that you'll know what it is. You may not have actually seen into the spiritual realm, but you know what it is. Okay, that's the spirit of fear. Okay, well, you discerned that, but then it was also a word of knowledge that let you know what was that. It's the spirit of fear. Okay, then you got three we call the power gifts. That is the working of miracles. Okay. And where it says here, the gift of faith that really, by another faith, that really means special faith. A gift of special faith. Okay? And then gifts of healings. And we'll look at these in detail as well. But these do something. The first three reveal something. These three do something. They work a miracle. Or you receive something. Like Daniel in the lion's den. He didn't work a miracle, but he received one through the gift of special faith. It says he laid down in a lion den and went to sleep. I guarantee you, that is not normal. Isn't that right? Whew, that's not normal. There was something special there operating in that. And, of course, the gifts of healings. We see this especially in the ministry of Jesus. There are different times. Sometimes he laid hands on people. Sometimes he'd tell them to go wash. Sometimes, it says he spit on the ground one time. He stuck his ears in their face. All kinds of different ways. These were what? Gifts of healings in operation. We'll look at that in the course of time. And then the last three, these are what are called the speaking or utterance gifts. divers or diversities of tongues. Now, that's where you speak in a language given by the Spirit that you did not learn. Remember, we said these are all supernatural gifts because they come from the Spirit. And then there's the interpretation of that. When tongues are spoken out in a service or something, what? There can be an interpretation. What? So that what? We can understand what was said. Then there's prophecy. Again, this is simple prophecy. We're not talking about predicting the future. Oh, the end of the world is coming next week. No, that's not it. No, it's a word just like I shared with you this morning. Where we've got what? God's encouraging us. He's exhorting us. Okay? He's speaking to us. And out of that, what? We come away and our faith is charged up and edified. We realize, hey, man, God's still on the throne. Not that we've forgotten, but it helps sometimes, doesn't it? That prophecy comes forth. God's still speaking. God still cares. And like I said, we look at these, but many times more than one of these gifts will operate together. But now, I want to share just give me just a few more minutes? It's 12 o'clock because we're just getting ready. Listen, God's grace and anointing as it flows through us, what? Our gift will make us fruitful and confirm our place in the body of Christ. Just for a few minutes here, turn to number 17. Take about 10 more minutes and then I'm going to close. I know it's noon already. I don't know where the time goes. Flies when you're having a good time. Turn over to Numbers 17. One of the reasons the Lord led me to teach on this subject is I want you, maybe you already have, but if you haven't, I want you to find your place. Amen. Find your place. And a lot of that has to do with what you're gifted to do. Your gifting to turn. Somebody says, how do I know what I'm called to do? Well, look at the gifting that's in your life. What has God gifted you to do? You know, it always runs this way. There's God's system and there's man's system. Man's system says, let's get a warm body and plug them in. Isn't that right? Let's find somebody that'll do it. You know, and I was so glad, Mr. Smith, that you agreed to do that. You know, we twist their arm and get them to do it. But you know, if they find out what the grace of God is in their life, then you know what? They can flow through that and they end up like Paul saying, it's not me that's doing it anymore. It's the grace, it's the gift of God in my life that's doing it. Amen. Then it's a joy in it. Yes. You know? Man, I look at some people in the ministry they do, you know, and you think, dear God, Lord, I'm glad you come. Please don't call me. You know, we wonder how they could do it. I mean, you look at a Sister Teresa, somebody like that, or whatever, you know, somebody on the mission field, we think, oh, God, I'm going to Africa. Well, if he does, if he sends you, you'll like it. If you just go, well, good luck. It could be tough. But he gives us the grace to do it. In Numbers 17, we see this especially. Let me just give you a little background. In Numbers 16, we had a group of people who wanted to be in an area of ministry that God didn't call them to be. And in this case, you know, sometimes a lot of people do it innocently, but in this case, they did it full well. It was just pride. You read there in Numbers 16, they said, well, wait a minute, Moses, you're taking way too much on yourself here. Hey, boy, I know your mama. Didn't we all come out of Egypt? Aren't we all God's chosen? You read it in Numbers 16. That's what it says. Hey, man, who you think you are? You've taken all this stuff on yourself and Aaron too and all that. And so here they go. Wah, wah, wah. You know, because they didn't like the way Moses did things. You know what? If you'd have been in that place, guess what? It'd have been the same story. They wouldn't have liked the way you did it either. As wonderful as you are, they wouldn't have liked it. So that's the background here. So in Numbers 17, verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and get 12 staffs from each of them. That's from each of the, you know, the heads of the tribes, of their ancestral tribes. Write the name of each man on his staff. On the staff of Levi, write Aaron's name. For there must be one staff for the head of each ancestral tribe. Now notice this, place them in the tent of meeting in front of the testimony. Now the tent of meeting, what's that? That's where God came down, where the glory of God would come down. He said, the staff belonging to the man I choose will sprout and I will rid myself of this constant grumbling against you by the Israelites. In other words, God says, my anointing and my grace settles it. Not the committee meeting. Well, we don't think, and I don't think, and God says, I'm going to stop all this grumbling. Because he says, I'm the head of this thing. How many know Jesus is the head of the church? I remember something Dad Hagin said years ago. He said, when Jesus appeared to him in a vision, he said, if I get ready to do something, he said, I don't have to ask the church to vote on it. He said, I don't have to talk to somebody if I want to put somebody in a place of ministry. He said, I'm the head of the church. Amen. I think sometimes we might lose sight of that. So he says, I'm going to end this grumbling. So Moses spoke to the Israelites, and their leaders gave them 12 staffs, each one for a leader of their ancestral tribe, and Aaron's staff among them. Moses placed the staffs before the Lord, the tent of the testimony. The next day, Moses entered the tent of the testimony and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the house of Levi, had not only sprouted, but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. Glory to God. Now, here's the thing. Number of things we can gain from this. Number one, when we present ourselves to God, all we are is a stick. Nothing particularly different about Aaron's stick and the rest of the sticks. They all look the same. A stick is a stick is a stick, I guess. Isn't that right? But here's the thing. They were placed in the presence of God. Let me just take a little sidestep here. If you want to see your gift blossom and bud, get into the presence of God. In prayer, in worship, in the Word, you get in the presence of God. And I'm telling you what, you're going to begin to blossom. Your gift begin to blossom. It'll begin to come forth. Amen? Because what? That will be a confirmation. The grace, the anointing, and the gifting of God is the confirmation of His call. And whether anybody else likes it or not, whether anybody else wants to agree about it or not, bless God, I'm telling you what, God is in charge. And when your rod, your stick, when it puts forth fruit and blossoms in an area, then I'm going to tell you what, you know what? All men can do is say, that's right. All man can do is confirm it. A man can't call you. Are you listening to me? Don't you let some man call you into something. Don't you let somebody prophesy over you and call you into something. You better know that the grace of God's on you for that. It needs to be evident in you. And you need to, just like Aaron's rod, you're going to begin to produce some fruit. You're going to begin to shoot out some sprouts. You're going to begin to blossom. You're going to begin to do whatever area it is. And then when you see that's what God's called you to do, then you excel in it. You give yourself to it. You cultivate it. You use it and use it and use it. Because here's the principle in God. In the natural, this world is ruled by the law of scarcity. That's what drives most everything, especially economically. Scarcity. Oh, ain't got much gas. $5 a gallon. Scarcity. Isn't that right? But listen, and because of that scarcity, we begin to shape our thinking again. And we begin to think, oh, I better hold on to what I got. Because there ain't much of it. And I ain't got much. And I may not get any more. So I better hold on to it. I've told you this before. Do you know that there are more $100 bills in print than $1 bills? Yeah, there is. Yeah, everybody's trying to get the $1 bills. Why? Listen, go after the hundreds. There's more of them. See how you're thinking? Scarcity. We get to the scarcity. But in the kingdom of God, see, when you get your mind renewed, Jesus said this, the more you give, the more you get. To him that had five and began to use those five and give it away and give it away and give it away. He got five more. The one that used two and began to give it away, use it. Got two more. The one that went and buried it. Scarcity. Lost what he had. Oh, listen. Take the gift that God's given you and begin to discover it. We're going to talk about that as we proceed in this series. As a matter of fact, I'm going to offer, because I'm not going to be able to get through it all, I'm following up this series, I'm going to offer, you got to register for it, but it's going to be free. I'm going to offer a free seminar here on Saturday that I'm going to do called Discovering and Developing Your Ministry. We're going to get into it in a lot more detail. But here's the thing. We're going to help you to discover. Listen, and some of you, maybe you already know what your gifts are. Listen, use them. Use them. Well, I was just waiting for somebody to use them. Well, I was just waiting for the pastor to prophesy. Use them. Well, I was just waiting for the elders to tell me it was okay. Use them. Yeah. Jesus is the head of the church. Use them. Well, I didn't want to get out of order. Well, if you do, we'll help you, but use them. We'll love you. We won't. Don't worry. We're not going to jump on you, but use them. Oh, I might make a mistake. Don't worry. You will. Use them. Lord of mercy, if I let the fear of making a mistake, I'd have never done anything. I'd still been in the closet. Because listen, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. But you know what? Paul said this. He said, I found this secret. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because it's the grace of God. Oh, it's the grace of God. And so, you know, when we see something good produced, some fruit produced through our lives, God gets all the glory then, doesn't he? Because we know it sure wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was God. It was God. And people will glorify God. Amen. Well, I got to stop because I'm out of time. Lord of mercy. Time flies when I'm having a good time. I know it. Well, we're going to continue on this series, and we are going to get in. We're going to talk next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about the fivefold ministry or the ascension gifts. We're going to talk about the apostle as foundational. We're going to talk about the prophetic as speaking the word of the Lord to us. We're going to talk about the evangelist, how he goes out with signs and wonders and proclaims the gospel, how he stirs, and each one of these gifts, what they do to stir us up. The pastor, the shepherd, the teacher. We're going to look at all these and see how all of them. This is why I bring in different types of ministries. Because, you know, I don't want to just bring in just another pastor to minister to you, because you got that gift going. I want to bring in the prophetic. I want to bring in the apostolic. I want to bring in the evangelist. Why? Because I believe what the scriptures say in Ephesians 4. You will never be all God intended you to be unless you sit under the grace that is upon those ministry gifts. Amen. 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 Praise God. Well, will you stand to your feet? Just before we go, if you would, every head bowed just for a moment. I know that probably it's mostly all Christians here, but there might be someone. And I don't want to let you go without giving you opportunity. If you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, the Bible says this. It says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? That every one of us have lived for themselves and not for God. And the Bible says that man, that means you and I, we cannot save ourselves. No matter how good a person you may be, no matter how tender your heart may be, no matter how many good works you may have done, all that, we commend you for that, but none of that can save you. The Bible says there's only one way of salvation, and that is in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says whoever will call on his name, whoever will cry out to him and say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Come and save me. Forgive me of my sins. If you call on him in that way, in some way like that, the Bible says you will be saved. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I need to pray that prayer. I need to make Jesus my Savior, my Lord. I want to know that I'm saved. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Maybe just wave it at me a little bit. I want to pray with you anyway.